the meeting of the March 10th Public Works and Capital Projects Committee to order and begin with a roll call, please.
Chair Nolan?
Here.
Deputy Chair Litz?
Here.
Legislator Donaldson?
Here.
Legislator Kovacs?
Here.
Legislator McCullough?
Here.
You have quorum.
Thank you. Is there a motion regarding the February 10th, 2025 meeting minutes? Motion to approve the minutes by Legislator McCullough. Is there a second? Second by Legislator Litz. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes unanimously. We will begin with the resolutions for the March 18th, 2025 legislative session. The first resolution is resolution number 52, adopting the Ulster County Fleet Vehicle Take-Home Policy. This was postponed last month. And this is a policy drafted through the Fleet Management Review Committee. We have the sponsor, Legislator Maloney, here today. We should say that I would like to have all motions for this evening introduced as a motion to approve unless we anticipate that there might be revisions or amendments, in which case we could make a motion for discussion. In this case, I suggest that we have a motion for discussion by Legislator Kovacs, or were you going to move to approve? Motion to approve by Legislator Kovacs, seconded by Legislator Litz. Are there questions or considerations from the committee? Well, we've had brought to our attention that there are concerns about this policy removing some take-home village vehicles from positions that have had those vehicles as part of employees' compensation packages. There is further information about that. And I will get to the sponsor in just a second, but I'd like to get the committee's concerns out, and this is a concern of mine. Can you speak to that, Deputy Director LaValle? Deputy Executive.
In anticipation of the take-home vehicle policy as it's written, there was a request for a take-home vehicle as due to a promotion. So this is a person who was not already receiving that benefit, didn't have a take-home vehicle, but was promoted to a position that in the past and the other peers in that position title do have take-home vehicles. After reviewing that request, it was decided to deny that request to be consistent with the take-home vehicle policy. We have received notice from the union that they are exploring their legal kind of action. And since this is a position that historically has had a take-home vehicle, we are fully anticipating that it will go as an improper practice in front of PERB, the Public Employee Relations Board, and to potentially be heard by an administrative law judge. So again, this is slightly a different class than taking vehicles away. This is a person who was, perhaps expecting a vehicle because of being promoted to a title that traditionally has had a take-home vehicle without the documentation to prove that it would meet the criteria of the policy. It was denied, and the union is going through kind of legal pathways.
Legislator Litz.
So in denying that, what policy did you judge that against?
So in anticipation of this policy perhaps coming into effect. So to be, to be the standards of this policy, and it's also, it was through that in anticipation.
I mean, if I were the judge, I'd say, listen, the Charlie Buzik law or policy is what is in effect. And you're judging it against a policy that has not been adopted, so I throw it out.
So,
because this is not a policy until we vote on it.
And again, I think there's a different standard. Again, I'm not a labor relations specialist or a lawyer, but I believe it's a different standard where it's improper practice where it's judging it against past practice.
So let's hold this conversation for now. I think it is relevant that this was attempted and that we have some information on it. Legislator Maloney, you're the sponsor of the resolution.
So, for one, the acknowledgement that it violates the policy is an acknowledgement that the vehicle is unneeded. So we're kind of, according to what we've all decided, Herb brings up a great point. There was a policy on the books when these vehicles were given, and they violated that policy. So there's a legal argument that all the vehicles that are out, many of these vehicles that are take-home vehicles right now, were illegal to begin with because the policy, the Charlie Busick policy, wasn't being followed. Secondly, any case law, the case law that was vaguely used, has all these different markers if you are going to use it as compensation. Any of the few cases that have been brought, they had discussions on the books with the unions that it was referred to as part of their pay. There was a complete consistency in the type of vehicles that were given and a complete consistency in the actual personnel and their titles that were getting those vehicles. None of those three things do we have here in Ulster County. We have randomness, random vehicles, random at different times, certain people in certain positions getting them at certain times, certain not. We had a policy on the books, and we have 0 minutes, zero discussions, zero emails, zero anything as far as it ever being discussed in union negotiations. There isn't a chance in hell that they would win the case. Then you get into the fact that the person that is behind the scenes from the union talking about this has a son that has a vehicle in DPW, and there is a lot of things out there about preferential treatment. So that person should not even be involved in some kind of threats to do with this vehicle. We have a lot of ethical problems here, I think, as well. Getting back to this, Legislator Litz was the one who had a lot of experience with DOT doing the exact same thing. They were able to do this exact same thing and basically get rid of a lot of unnecessary take-home vehicles and save the state a lot of money a couple of years ago. With all that, if we wanted to, we could take what the government puts the price when you're doing your taxes on a take-home vehicle, which isn't much, and we could work that in. It's an open contract. We could easily work that in right now if we wanted to and get around everything if we wanted to and give us a tiny extra small raise in the upcoming contract to everyone that now has a take-home vehicle, and we could just use the standard that we already use with the IRS on what that vehicle is worth when they do their taxes, and it's not much, it wouldn't be a hit to the budget. If you wanted to do that, you could. But I have no fear, neither did the other seven bipartisan, multi-party commission that voted all of these through, much of which was already in the existing policy. We started with the existing policy that was on the books, and we tweaked it. We added some things about markings. We codified a lot of what was in there, changed some language that everybody had issues with, as far as post-charter, pre-charter, post-charter, and we came up with this. Every single, as I was just telling Jason, every single change, every single specific thing, and we voted on it bit by bit as we put this policy back together and recodified the old policy. Every single vote we had was unanimous in the committee. We got to a point where all seven members, and I wouldn't say anybody led the, I think Herb, since he had so much experience, probably was led the way on a couple of different things. But overall, everybody had their opinions, and we got to a point where everyone agreed, and I really felt like we had a strong chance of getting this to the floor and passed because we had seven legislators. Legislator Hewitt, Legislator Stewart, Legislator Aaron Levine, Laura Petit stayed on, and Kevin Roberts, Herb, and myself, 100% agreement on everything after 6 months of meetings.
Thank you. So I just want to say that I'm not in agreement with the statement that was just made that the action of the executive in approaching withholding this vehicle indicates that they were operating on something that I think the quote was what we've all decided. There has not been a decision about resolution number 52. It is in front of us tonight. So I think that there was an effort to look at a particular situation, and it happens to give us information about what would happen if we started to go down this road. The fact that it was a vehicle that was kind of in due to a promotion means that it's not even taking away a vehicle from somebody who already has it. I see you, and if you put your hand down, I'll call on you in a minute. It is not just that it was a vehicle that would be taken away, but this is a situation where even a vehicle that was just associated with the position is enough to make the union decide they would come in and fight for it. There were several statements that I heard that said, one was that that many vehicles are illegal under current policy. I don't understand the legislator making those claims to have a legal degree and to be able to offer legal opinions. So I just note that that claim and any case law, compensation, those kind of comments, I just can't address them as having any legal merit because I don't think they come from a lawyer. I think that the situation for us is, the other legal claim that was is that there would be no chance in hell was the exact quote, I think, of winning the case. Not only a legal opinion, but not to my mind, the most relevant consideration. We could win a lot of things, but pay a lot of money to do it. And I'm not opposed to putting forward a law that challenges the status quo. I think if we have the ability to do what Legislator Maloney suggested, which is negotiate with the union about this for money, vehicles, all of this, rather than adopt this policy now and perhaps trigger a legal battle which costs us money and gets us back to the same place where we basically negotiate with the union. I think that it's relevant whether or not we end up in court, not just whether we win the case. And it's true we don't have to hire outside lawyers, but we do have to devote staff time when we have when we have litigation. So I'll stop there. Legislator Maloney, you had other comments.
I'd like to add as well that we do have a problem in DPW right now with vehicles during the day to be used. While we have all these beautiful Silverados pulling in, we have the day-to-day vehicles that all the employees that do not have take-home vehicles are driving, and many of them are in disarray. And these vehicles would not necessarily most of these vehicles we're talking about that would be affected and not be take home anymore become fleet vehicles that are much needed right now by these workers over at DPW. I've spoken to several employees, one today, who was once again talking about things like windows. They have to leave the windows down because the smoke that pours in from this old, I've shown pictures in committee about in the subcommittee, rusted out, these old trucks that some of these guys and gals are forced to drive during the day when we have this fleet of expensive take-home cars being used for the work of the people. So it's been terrible for morale, and we've even had some, improper use of these take-home vehicles that we have found over the past couple of months. We may have even found more recently. So I just think now it's long overdue that we have a fleet policy. We're Ulster County. We should have a fleet policy. We worked on it. We went through the process. It was bipartisan. It makes a lot of sense. Most of it was similar to what was already there. I think it's time to move on this. Thank you.
Can I inquire with DPW whether or not you are getting reports about difficulties with having adequate numbers of fleet vehicles and morale problems around fleet issues?
Not specifically, no.
And the improper use that was mentioned, those situations have been identified and are being addressed. Legislator Kovacs?
Thank you. I think we should, I'm going to vote to move this forward to the next committee, the Ways and Means Committee. This is a special committee the legislature has formed 2 years ago, a bipartisan group of legislators and former legislators who met 9-10 times over a year period. Do I agree with every single thing in the policy? Probably not, but I think it's a well thought out policy that I've been advised was adopted unanimously. And I think that it certainly serves a purpose. We've had some issues with take home vehicles, so let's move this forward. I don't see why we need to postpone this again. And I want to comment on this, allegation that we may be headed to court if we adopt this. If that was the case, I would like to see a memo from the county attorney advising us that we should not be adopting this. This has been before us for a couple of months now. There's no memo from any county attorney or legislative counsel that we should not adopt this. I suggest we move this forward, Chair.
I take note of the benefit of a memo from the Ulster County Attorney on it, and I will say that this is the first meeting where we've been addressing this, where we've had the sponsor present, where we've actually had this kind of conversation. So I would welcome such a memo, and it's part of the reason that I think that it would be more appropriate to postpone. I'm not sure that this particular fleet policy would gather my support. I think there are some good things in it. I think the work of the committee was very good. If I were going to vote for it, I would want to vote for it at the time where we have that memo, and I would say wait for some attempts to deal with the issues which were flagged for that committee about union contracts that involve these vehicles. And so putting in policy the specific recommendations that challenge that head on makes this more problematic. The rest of the policy, would not. And maybe there's no way to deal with it other than take it head on at some point. But I don't think we have completed the process of trying other avenues. Let me see if there's anybody else on the committee who wants to speak, and I'll come back to the sponsor. Legislator Litz.
I spent nearly 2 years on this committee. We fleshed a lot of things out. It was a unanimous vote to bring it forward to this committee to be recommended to go to the floor. And I would just like to call the question, because it's going to go before Ways and Means, and I don't know how many times in recent history we've let things go out of committee because you got a week before it's going to be finalized in Ways and Means to get whatever legal document or review or whatever you need. It's just that this thing keeps getting postponed, and there's no need for it. Let's just move it out of committee.
I'm going to hold in abeyance your request to call the question. We have the sponsor in a queue to make comments, so I'd like to allow that.
Kind of building quickly upon what Herc just said, and that was we spent more time. The topic that we spent the most time on tonight is what we spent probably more time on than anything else through that entire subcommittee. And the last conversation we had before the final vote was me asking everyone, how do you want, are we comfortable going forward? And it was the entire committee that said yes, legally. And we went through it and through it and through it. We spent some time on it every meeting. Everybody at the table was comfortable moving forward. And that was after. So this is not the first time this has been discussed. This has been discussed for a year. And the entire 7-member committee wanted to move forward and felt very comfortable doing it.
Did you request any memos from lawyers, either the legislative council or from the county attorney on this issue that you spent this time on?
We didn't request it in memo form, but we had discussions that our legal attorney was involved in. And it left us feeling comfortable.
I have two hands on that. Deputy Executive.
Before the prior meeting of a legal opinion from Romer Wallins.
That's correct. At the last meeting, we did mention, and it's in the packets, there is a memo from Romer Wallins on this, urging caution on exactly this point. Legislator Litz.
No, I was just going to say that we do policy every single legislative session, and we're not sending a lot of that to the to our legal counsel in the county. It's a policy. We did our best. We can revise the policy at any given moment and make amendments from now until whenever the last session of the legislature will be in the year 3084. I just call a question.
Please. Is there any further discussion from other members of the committee? All those in favor of approving resolution number 52?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Opposed? We need to have votes from everybody unless you're abstaining. Any abstentions?
I vote to move it.
Legislator McCullough? So the resolution passes 4-1. Resolution number 54, adopting proposed local law number 19 of 2024, a local law regulating the use of county parking lots. I understand that the sponsor might be willing to or interested in withdrawing this resolution.
Not withdrawing. Oh.
Because it would be
a resolution.
Yeah, so this was a proposed local law, okay. And so if we're going to do a resolution, you would have to withdraw this and come back with another resolution.
Yes.
So if you're just withdrawing it, we don't have to take any votes on that. So for the benefit of the committee, the executive's office is interested in approaching this through some other mechanisms than changing the law. And they have spoken with the sponsor, and he is in agreement about that. And so we'll bring it back along those lines.
Okay.
Any further comments? General agreement that improving the situation in the county parking lot is highly to be desired and that we're heading in good directions on this. Resolution number 85, approving the execution of a contract for $1,427,490.29 entered into by the county Solar Liberty Energy Systems, Inc., Departments of Planning and Public Works. This is for the contract for installation of solar at Golden Hill Project to be 100% funded by New York State. Is there a motion, and then we can talk further about the funding? Motion from Legislator Kovacs, seconded by Legislator McCullough. And do I need to? Am I incorrect on that, Director Correll?
You're correct. I just wanted to let the committee know that we have a protest on this bid, so we're trying to work that protest out prior to essentially getting through this entire legislative process. So if we don't have it worked out by the time the Ways and Means Committee meets, then my sense would be is we'd have to withdraw this resolution until the protest is settled. I just want to let you know that there is a protest. The difference between the two bids are about $486,000, and the second highest bid is actually more than the grant that I have. It's 1.8 versus the grant of about 1.6. So it would cost the county in that sense if we go to the second highest bid. Okay.
So the possibility of the protest would emerge at a later point. We have a motion and a second. Did we get that?
Yes.
That's right. Kovacs and McCullough. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? That passes unanimously. Resolution number 89, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to enter into a lease extension agreement with IPARC 87 Commercial LLC for the Ulster County Office of Employment and Training, Department of Public Works, Buildings and Ground. So a five-year lease extension beginning this year, and it's for up to 8,200 square feet of office space for the County Department of Employment and Training.
It's really not a lease extension, is it?
That was amended in economic development to remove the word
extension. Oh, it's already been amended to remove extension. Thank you, Legislator Litz. Authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to enter into a lease agreement. It's a new lease. Right. Is there a motion?
Moved
by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator Kovacs. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? That passes unanimously. Resolution number 107, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to enter into a lease extension agreement with ONW Station. Is this an extension? With ONW Station LLC for the Family and Child Advocacy Center, Department of Public Works, Buildings and Grounds. There's a one-year lease extension beginning this year for the Family and Child Advocacy Center. This is 51 Hurley Avenue, and the total cost is a little over $94,000. And that is for that space.
I'm moving for adoption.
Moved by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator Donaldson. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? That passes unanimously. Resolution number 108, we have in front of us proposed language. Everybody should have that. This would be to amend that the resolution is Resolution 108, amending capital project number 661, bridge superstructure repairs, amending the 2025 capital fund budget, Department of Public Works, Highways and Bridges. And this is for multiple bridge repairs. The amendment is to change the funding financing structure from the bond to funds from the restricted bridge capital reserve fund. So we would approach this by making amendment on the resolution as presented, if we're in agreement about that amendment, and then we can consider adopting as amended. So the language changes are in the title, which would now say amending the 2025 Ulster County operating budget, and the if whereas, which mentions the establishment of the capital reserve fund, and the sixth whereas, new whereas, recommending the use of that fund, and the resolve that would amend the budget to allow those funds to be taken directly from the restricted bridge capital reserve fund rather than going for bonding. Yes, Legislator Litz.
Isn't the funding coming from the general fund into the capital bridge reserve fund?
Yes. That is what the resolve says. And then the funding for the projects would come out of the capital reserve bridge fund. Commissioner?
And I'm slightly Deputy confusing because do you have enough money in the capital reserve fund to pay for this without taking a transfer from the general fund?
I do not know the answer to that question.
Because in the bottom of the financial section, after the resolves, is it says that the money is coming from the inter-fund transfer from the general fund.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what we should be. I mean, money's got to be put into the capital reserve fund from the general fund before they can tap the money out of the capital reserve fund for this project.
That's exactly correct. That's what the amendments in front of us propose to do.
It's my understanding that this capital reserve fund was already established in budget, and it was taken from excess money from the general fund.
But the question is, the reserve fund is established. That was December 17th of 2024, and it covers this type of project. The question is, does it already have in it sufficient funds that we don't need to do this transfer? And I do not know the answer to that question. I do not remember allocating funding to this reserve fund. So my suggestion would be that we adopt these amendments as presented, and that way we will have the specific amount that these projects require. If there is already funding in that, I think that's okay. It won't be harmed by additional funding coming in. If it has too much in it, we can either do more bridges or or transfer it back out.
If you look at the last resolve, it says that the appropriated bridge fund has $1.5 million going into it from a transfer from the capital project fund. But I don't know, the wording's a little weird. It's coming from the capital project fund.
No, the resolve says that we're going to increase the restricted bridge capital fund by $1,850,000.
And where's it coming from?
It is coming from
one says it's coming.
Fair question. It doesn't indicate.
It's transferring to the capital project fund. And over here, it's saying they're transferring it from the interfund transfer into the general, from the general fund.
So, yes, it's going from general fund to capital projects fund and then into the restricted reserve. Deputy Executive LaValle.
Kind of specific budget questions. If it's possible to table this until the end, I'm sure I can get the answers.
Yeah, because I think they need to be worded consistently.
Yeah, and I don't see where it comes from clearly. Is there agreement among the committee that we'll just put this aside and come back to it when there's been further information gathered?
Yeah.
Great. So we will move on to Resolution 109, approving the execution of a contract for $1 million. Well, this is going to depend upon that. These are bridges that are going to use that fund. Let's put this to the side with 108. I'd like to propose that we consider blocking resolutions 111, 112, 113, 114, 115, and 116, which are all annual rate contracts on our road repair contracts, with four of them with Allstate's Construction doing business as Gorman Construction, and the other with Highway Rehabilitation Corporation, and the sixth with Peckham Road Corp, but all changing the contract with the annual rates being updated to the 2025 figures.
So we're blocking 111
to 116.
Correct. That's my proposal. Is there a motion?
And I'll move to block that.
Motion to block those identified resolutions is seconded by Legislator McCullough. Any discussion on the blocking? All in favor of blocking?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstention?
I'll move the block for adoption.
Yes. Moved by Legislator Litt, seconded by Legislator McCullough. Any discussion on the resolutions in the block? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? So that block of resolution passes unanimously. Resolution number 117. Approving the execution of a contract for $592,000 entered into by the county, J&J, SAS Electric, Department of Public Works. This is electrical construction services for the replacement of the HVAC system at the county probation building.
I'll move it.
Moved by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator McCullough. Any comments from DPW? Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? That passes unanimously. Resolution number 118, approving the execution of a contract for $736,000 entered into by the county VAMCO Sheet Metal, Inc., Department of Public Works. This is the mechanical construction on the same HVAC system.
I'll move for adoption.
Okay.
Moved by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator Donaldson. Any discussion?
No, this capital was established by you folks last month. We're now coming back with its actual contract.
With the contract. Any questions or concerns? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Or any opposed? Any abstentions? That passes unanimously. Is there any new business for the committee? We still have these two resolutions, but we don't have Deputy Executive LaValle back yet. Any new business or any old business?
The only thing I would say relative to where we are right now is the degree of uncertainty in terms of what's happening with federal revenue is significant. We're not seeing any guidance coming out of the state except they continue to move things ahead without without any guidance from FHWA and FDA. So we should have some concerns about whether or not these projects would continue, some of these federal funding projects would continue to be funded. And that includes, you know, a number of projects in the county that are federally funded, and somewhere in the neighborhood of about $5 million. And that's just on the local side. On the state side, that number gets very large very quickly. So I would look at that. And at some risk to myself, I think the explanation here with respect to where we are in this resolution is, it sounds complicated, but it really isn't, I don't think. So we'll wait until Deputy LaValle. But if I may give one interpretation is, what they're trying to do here is increase the operating budget by taking money, $1.8 million, out of the restricted capital fund and putting it in an interfund transfer capital projects fund. And then they're taking that money that's now in, that think about this as now you have money in an operating fund. They're taking that money and they're assigning it to capital project 661 through an interfund transfer. And we've seen this done in the past with projects that I've worked on, but we should wait for.
No, that I understand.
Yeah.
But the last portion says it's coming from the general fund.
Well, they're transferring it out, or if you look at the way the resolution.
So it's got to go from the general fund.
The way around. It's coming from the restricted fund balance, right? It's coming from the restricted fund balance into the general fund, interfund transfer into the capital project. That's how I read it. I could be wrong, but but I would turn it around.
See. I understood you had to take it out of the general fund, put it into the capital fund, and then take it out of that capital fund, put it in this particular.
If you look at the way the resolution is written, the first increase is the appropriated fund balance from a restricted bridge capital reserve, and that's listed as a revenue. So it's coming out of that fund as a revenue into interfund transfer capital fund, which is appropriation. So it's increasing that appropriation. And then what they're doing is they're basically taking that appropriation and they're moving it in through interfund transfer, they're moving it into the capital project.
Understood. Then they wouldn't need to take it from the general fund unless there's not enough.
They're not. They're taking it from the restricted reserve. Take a close look at it. And I'm, you know, granted, I just look at the resolution. We've done this in the past.
But it does say, right under the resolve text, that the appropriated fund restricted bridge capital reserve is going to increase by $1,850,000.
So from the general fund.
And I'm taking that to be from the general fund based on the last line of the resolution, of the resolved. So I'm in agreement with Legislator Lips.
Well, that was the reason I asked how much is in the capital,
the
capital funds reserve, but it looks like there's not enough in there to cover this, which is why they're going to the general fund.
Right. That's what I think.
Appropriate money instead of a serial bond, which is the way we used to do it, but why go out for a serial bond and have to pay all the interest when we got all this extra money in our fund balance.
Exactly. Well, it looks like Deputy Executive LaValle has returned. We have returned to the discussion of resolution number 108. Do you have a clarification for us?
So what I was told was that the, as you mentioned, resolution, I think 661, December 24, established the Bridge Capital Reserve. That was funded then through the budget process, and it has been established and set up all the accounts, and there was a report that was shared, I believe, with the Leg staff the reserve.
So okay.
I'm told that it was all completed. It's been funded.
So if it's been funded, do we know to what amount it's been funded? And does it need to have nearly $2 million added to it to cover these bridge projects?
No, I believe it was $10 million.
To $10 million. Yeah. So.
Yes, with establishing, oh yeah.
This supports what Planning Director Doyle was saying, that this is not adding money to this fund, but is in fact using this fund.
Definitely.
To. Well, it's identifying the correct accounting category for these funds so that they can be used in resolution number 109, is what I understand this to be.
The way I read this is, back in April of 2023, we established the capital project 661 for design services in the amount of $65,000. And then typically when the bids come or whatever, you come back in to increase that to pay for the work, and that looks like what you're doing here. But on December 24th, it says construction acquisition, but I don't know what that dollar value was. I'd have to look at that resolution. It looks like we were increasing it in December of 24. But if there was enough money in December of 24, we wouldn't have this resolution. And I think this resolution is necessary because there's not enough money in the bridge capital reserve fund. So we have to increase it by $1.85
million. The Planning Director Doyle.
Right. You're right.
It literally is a program that we're trying to avoid bonding. So if you have a capital reserve to do X, right, rather than bond the bridge project, you're moving money out of that capital reserve into a regular fund, an interfund transfer into the capital project. The example I would give you is we did the similar thing with respect to the gate on Golden Hill. We didn't have a capital reserve that was restricted. We just pulled it out of fund balance and it went into that capital project through an interfund transfer. That's how we did Golden Hill. And if you don't need a bonding resolution, you have to find a way for some money. You're going into your fund balance. In this case, the fund balance is restricted into a capital reserve for bridges. You're pulling money out of that as a revenue. And that's what shows in the resolution. In terms of, and then it's moving into an appropriation as an interfund transfer, and it's moving from there into the capital project.
And I agree with everything you said, except it says interfund transfer in from the general fund, not the reserve capital reserve fund.
And they have the first line, they have the appropriated fund restricted bridge capital reserve is increasing by $1,850,000. I think that fund is actually decreasing. If I agree with everything that the planning director said, except I think that means that should be a decrease in the restricted bridge capital reserve of that amount, because that's where it's coming from.
That may be the case.
So I think we have a situation where I think the amendment as presented may be problematic, but it's closer than what we had, which was bonding. So my suggestion would be that we amend as presented here and then take a vote on moving this forward, and that between now and Ways and Means, if additional amendments are needed, that we would have the opportunity to do that. Legislator Kovacs.
The question, why are we not bonding for this?
We have had considerable encouragement to move from bonding of relatively small amounts to using funds available to the county, especially as we get less return on interest than we might pay on the bonding. Do you want to add anything to that, Legislator Wilkes?
Well, I was just going to say, we bond projects because we don't have money, and we're flush with money. Why have the taxpayers pay interest on a bond when we've got money sitting in the bank that's making less interest than the bond we're paying?
I totally
got you, buddy.
I totally agree with what you're saying. My point was more rhetorical. Why are we now deciding that we're not going to bond? This has been I've only been here a year and two months.
But my understanding is that I have gone along with bonding because until recently we were able to get relatively cheap money by bonding. And so by having the bond, you could actually keep money in the bank that's earning more interest than you're paying on the bond. So you actually have a net to the county. Those numbers change as interest rates and other variables change. And we've now reached the point where it makes sense to use our funds. We're also we have more reserves than we've had in the past. So there have been several pressures towards using the money rather than bonding.
Thank you.
Is there support for the notion of amending the resolution as presented? Is there a motion?
I normally would vote no on this. But we have already let the contract, right?
Well, the contract's on the next one. The next resolution is the actual contract.
Yes, but I mean, we put in an RFP. We got the numbers back, and the next one is the contract.
Yeah, we're ready to go.
So we don't vote on this. The contract sits, and what, after 30 days, they can... They can say, listen, that number was only good for 30 days.
I have a motion to amend as presented by Legislator McCullough, seconded by Legislator Donaldson. Your concerns are noted, Legislator Litz, and if you still feel that you can't support it because there seems to be imperfections in the amendments as presented, that would understand that. Any other discussion on that? Any other clarifications people can offer? All in favor of amending as presented?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
I'm going to be a no on process for whatever reason. It's going to pass. These guys are going to get paid, but I'm going to be a no because we need to flesh these things out before they come to this committee.
Yeah, I apologize. I did not catch this. And take it up with our legislative analyst, budget analyst.
Sure, I will be a no as well.
Okay. So no's from Legislator Kovacs and Litz. Resolution passes 3-2. Resolution number, that was just the amendment. In terms of the adopting as amended, is there a motion to adopt as amended? Legislator McCullough, seconded by Legislator Donaldson. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Opposed.
Legislator Litz, Legislator Kovacs. The resolution number 85 is adopted as amended with a vote of 3-2. Resolution number 109, approving the execution of a contract for $1,649,000 entered into by the county HVB Construction. This would be the contract to use a good chunk of the money we just moved around for construction of the Watson Hollow Bridge, High Falls Bridge, Coxing Bridge, Saugerties Reservoir Bridge, and Tuttletown Bridge. These are bridge repairs of the superstructure. Is there a motion? Motion to adopt by Legislator Donaldson, seconded by Legislator McCullough. Any discussion, considerations, concerns? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? That passes unanimously.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We had moved to the new business and old business sections of the agenda, but there were some of us out of the room. Is there any additional new or old business?
Hearing none, I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion by Legislator Litt, seconded by Legislator Donaldson. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We are adjourned.
That's not totally.